This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, the Capitals have merely 4 games left in the regular season. One more road game to go, and then they're home for the last 3. And this may be the biggest week in all of podcast history for What the Puck, because there is so much going on, and not good things either. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan, he's in the middle of Return of the Jedi. Said he hit pause just for now, just for you guys. So, Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
I had no idea what you were talking about until I remembered today is May the 4th. And I was like, first of all, I don't care about Star Wars. So... I was like, I don't understand where he's going with this joke. And then it all made sense.
Yes, it is May the 4th. It is Star Wars Day. Every social media account out there that is trying to sell you something just added a lightsaber to any of their graphics. It's like when they add a Santa hat at Christmas to their logo as well.
Yeah.
That's what you do on Star Wars Day, apparently. But hey, we got too much to talk about to fool around here. Should we start with the bad news or the worst news? I guess let's start with Tom Wilson, who was a big dum-dum again. And Coach Dan and I compile notes for each show so we know what we're going to be talking about because we are professionals. We've been doing this for 7 years.
Been 7 years?
It's been 7. It may
Let's talk about
eight.
That for a minute.
It may even be 8 years now that I'm thinking about it.
What would be the odds? Next year would be 8th year, right? Ovechkin's out of contract after the season. What if the 8th year he's not on the team?
Interesting.
Number 8 would not be there.
Well, we started this podcast at the best time when there was a lockout. So when was the lockout? Was that 2012? So I think it's 9 years.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so that's a little bit longer than that. But anyway, so we compiled notes together, and I made a note the fact that Tom Wilson got the A on his sweater for the game against the Penguins, that sucky, sucky game on Saturday. I wasted a Saturday night on that game. But Tom Wilson got the A because we've all been very proud of his leadership and how he has handled himself this season. And then a line brawl breaks out during this Rangers game, and Tom Wilson gets, 14 minutes of penalties for this line brawl. Let's just go over it. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, the Players Safety Association or whatever for the NHL did fine him the maximum amount, $5,000, but he will not be missing any time. He's just, his wallet's a little bit lighter. But what are your thoughts on this line brawl?
Is his wallet even all that much lighter? Like, I feel like this fine was a joke. And I understand that he's a good hockey player, and when he plays, the Capitals are better, so I should want him to play. But I can't wrap my mind around the fine being the only sense of disciplinary action for Tom Wilson. Because it's not enough to make a point, right? Like, if it was something where it was just like a regular roughing thing, and he's a little overzealous. It doesn't happen really ever. You know, if this was Nick Dowd, who got fined $5,000 for being a little overzealous, then I'm not that worried about it. But it's a repeat offender, and it's Tom Wilson, and like, he doesn't get it. He's incapable of understanding, I feel like, at this point. You know, you'd think, okay, the first time it happens again, you're like, okay, well, he's clearly not paying attention. We're going to get him with a little bit of a harder suspension, send a message. You know, we might need to have a couple conversations with the guy to figure it out. You know, why are you playing this way? Why is this your behavior. But he continues to do these stupid things. And, like, I get it, and I can't quite figure out what set him off, and there's no real way of knowing without him saying so. But I Buchnevich hit, or I guess he was whacking away at, or some video show that he may have even kicked out with his skate at Vanacek. But he's got his head down. He's not looking at the goalie. So it's hard to say as whether he really meant to kick him up or if his legs were just kind of out that way. But that's not really an excuse for Wilson to then, he had his hands on him and then punch him in the face while he's out. Like, I get it. You want to defend your goalie if someone's going after him. And, like, usually, you know, you get those scrums in front of the goalie where the players start pushing each other and whatever else the case may be. And occasionally a fight might happen as a result of that. And the goalie, he always just kind of skates away like, not dealing with this. You guys fight it out. Like, not my problem. I get that. And I get you couldn't really do it in that sense because Buchnevich was down and Wilson was kind of on top of, or not on top of, he was over top of him. But if you don't like what he's doing, pull him away. Like when I never played hockey. I never played ice hockey. I played roller hockey for a bit, and some guys take little liberties with the goalie and you push him away or whatever the case may be, or you slash their stick or something to send a message or knock their stick away so they can't do that anymore. But you don't punch him in the face like that when he's on the ice. And then you don't body slam Artemi Panarin by also, I mean, maybe the video is just misleading, but it looks like he's grabbing his hair and slamming him onto the ice. And I get that, you know, your energy is up and adrenaline is up and you're wired and you're fired up and things are happening and you lose control a little bit, but you shouldn't be. And if it's an anger issue, then that's a problem. And they need to get some help for him. Because this is absurd that this keeps happening. And I'm a Caps fan. I want this guy to work out. But he's, to an extent, he's an embarrassment. And the fact that he had the A on his sweater against the Penguins is an embarrassment to the Capitals. That you have a player like this on your roster that is continually making these mistakes. And I see Caps fans defending him, and they won't like what, maybe they won't like what I'm saying. Maybe people listening aren't going to like what I'm saying, but I don't get it. Like, this guy's a clown. And he keeps making these stupid mistakes. And he's going to cause a long-term injury. He could have with Panarin. And I get he's a Ranger, but these are people. It's not a video game. Like, these are real people who have lives they have to go to and have futures after the game. And that kind of behavior is not okay. And I'm embarrassed that the team I support employs him.
So,
did I steal all of your like talking points?
No, I think you're a little bit more enraged than I am. I am embarrassed. I am of that play, and I'm not. Let me talk myself through this.
All right, what? Because, all right, everybody, strap in.
So there's certain things that he did last night that did embarrass me as a Capitals fan. And I've talked about this with friends and my girlfriend and stuff like that of how I want to get, like, the Weagle tattooed somewhere because I'm such a big Caps fan. But it's moments like this that make me worried. Like, I'm not going to go get, like, a 43 somewhere. But, like, this is why you don't get permanent tattoos, because stuff out of your control can make you regret that. So, you know, are we going to see something from Tom Wilson or someone in the Caps organization at some point that you're going to be like, I can't watch this anymore? I mean, certain movies starring certain people where things have come out, I have a really hard time watching their movies, and some of them are my favorite movies I've ever seen, and I can't really watch them anymore because they did some really terrible things. But I saw when the Rangers player went down, Buchnevich, I did see him kicking Vitek. However, he is on the ground, face down on the ice. You don't punch a guy who's already down. Now, if Tom Wilson wanted to get on top of him and, you know, say something to him to, like, agitate him, okay. If he wanted to get him, like you said, pull him out of the crease, okay. But to punch the guy who's already down and whose back is to you, that's a lame move. Now, what happens with the line brawl with Panarin getting on Tom Wilson's back, I think it was like two or three people on his back. I mean, I really can't get angry at Tom Wilson for defending himself at that point because he's got people going after him. Now, when Tom Wilson went to the penalty box, there's a shot of him flexing and yelling at somebody from the penalty box. That's the part that I hated the most, because when you just see the picture or the gif, it's funny. But when you know the whole story of what happened earlier, it's really annoying and it's really stupid. And he should not have done that. Once in the penalty box, how many seasons has he been in the league? When he's in the penalty box, it's over. If people are chirping at you, you need to sit down for your 10 minutes and not do anything. So he shouldn't have done that. Now, again, this is one-sided. I don't know what, like, somebody calling him a goon? Was somebody saying something about him from
you
the
are
Rangers?
A goon!
You know, and I think that's what he was trying to say is like, oh, I'm a big dummy. You know, I'm a big tough guy. I don't know.
Okay, so, big tough guy. Go work for Vince McMahon. Right? Like, the thing is, like, I get that hockey's a physical sport. I understand that completely. And I get that every other NHL general manager would love to have Tom Wilson on their team.
Yeah, you let him go. He's picked up within 5 minutes.
Oh, you definitely can get something good for him in a trade. And I don't know if I'm advocating for trading Tom Wilson, but
there's
something
somebody else I'm going to be talking about in a little bit. We'll be talking about trading.
Well, that one I'm advocating for trading. Although I'd like to know what. Anyways, we'll talk about him in a minute.
Yeah.
But I think with Wilson, something needs to be done regarding his behavior because it's a consistent thing. It's happening every time. And the reality is, every time something like this happens, you get everybody on Twitter, all reporters, whether they're. You got Keith Olbermann jumping in.
Who doesn't know that there aren't quarters in hockey.
But you got, I mean, I like Olbermann back from SportsCenter days. But you got people chiming in and they're talking smack about my favorite team. And it's because they employ this guy. It's because they support him in his behavior. They're giving him an A on a sweater saying that he's a veteran. And yet, he's a leader on this team. But he's not acting like it. At least not in his performance and his behavior. Because that's not how you're supposed to be playing the game of hockey.
Well, let me just interject here for a second. Yes, that's true. However, if that's not what they wanted from him, they wouldn't have used it for the replay to cut to commercial. They used that slam of Panarin multiple times as a, hey, come right back after commercial. They want him to do it. They do.
Well, that's not CSN. That's NBC Sports Washington. Remember CSN? That was fun. That was, yeah. NBC Sports Washington. You know, this whole thing might work out with them moving to another network because NBC Sports Washington is too freaking long of a name. You know, like, we need something shorter.
They're going to Turner Broadcasting.
Stop stealing my... We're not there yet. Don't talk about it. No spoilers. Brandon, no spoilers.
I'll be quiet on a podcast.
But, right, we talk about the news that's already happened. But it's like he's a moron. I get that 5,000 is probably the most he's allowed to get, but
it is.
It's a joke. It's a joke on the NHL. And then the Capitals on their Twitter account coming out with that stupid thing, which, by the way, I admit, I didn't get it. But they had that picture came out where it was like his head was a sheesh or some nonsense, and then the bottom was that like angry guy meme. I didn't really get it. But also, why are you supporting this goon-like behavior? Like, I get it if he's a physical guy and he's, you know, he fights a good decent amount, but he doesn't injure players or whatever it is. He doesn't take these cheap shots. And, like, that's fine. You want to support that because every team will support that when they have that guy. But how can you support a guy who has no intention of playing hockey the right way when he gets angry? He goes out of his way to cause injuries. And I'm not saying he's trying to hurt people, but he's certainly not trying to not hurt people. Sure. There's a new, needs to be a new word. He's beyond a goon because a goon just fights. You know, and he hits players, but he does it legally for the most part. This guy doesn't. And the fact that the organization is supporting it, or at least whoever runs their Twitter account is supporting it, that's embarrassing.
He does teeter that line. And the NHL doesn't know what to do. The NHL fined him, but no suspension. He's not missing any games.
I don't get that either, because he's definitely a repeat offender, because
you know why? Look at the schedule, okay?
What do they think? They're going to get retribution when the Rangers beat him up on... Dude, shift that he's out there, someone's taking a run at him during the game on Wednesday. I'm calling it right now.
Well, look, it is Wednesday night rivalry night, and it is on national television.
That is not why they didn't suspend him.
Ratings. That's exactly why.
I mean, I could see that. I don't think that's the case. I wouldn't necessarily... Like, if someone came out and admitted that that was the case, I'd be like, all right, I'm not overly surprised. I don't think that is the case, but I also wouldn't put it past the NHL to do something stupid like that. But there's going to be so much garbage at the beginning of that game and then throughout.
It's going to be an interesting one to watch, definitely. And we'll see what happens. But I don't know what to do with Tom Wilson at this point. I mean, suspensions don't work. Fining doesn't work. Like, people are saying they wanted him arrested. And I think they did that with, like, Donald Brashear a couple years, like, many years ago.
McSorley with the... Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't see that happening. I don't see him getting arrested or anything like that. But I don't know how to have Tom Wilson change his game. I think this is Tom Wilson.
That's a problem. Like, the Caps have to sit him down. And based on their giving him the A, and based on their behavior, it certainly seems that way. Certainly seems like they're not going to do that, is what I meant to say. I realized that sentence didn't make sense. It seems like they're not. They're not going to stop him from doing these kind of things. They're going to continue to allow this nonsense behavior. They're going to allow him to continue embarrassing this organization. A guy I follow on Twitter, he follows back. I know he's also named Brandon. I know that he doesn't like, I brought this up, I think, at the last off season or at some point last season when he did another stupid thing. And I was like, you know, I'm getting a little tired of this nonsense having him on the roster. I get what he brings to this team, but I feel like you can find a guy that brings the same thing that Wilson brings without the negativity. I don't know. At some point, it's not worth it anymore.
I don't know. I'm at a loss for words, to be honest. I really am.
Well, let's move to a guy that you have some words for, that we both have words for, as Yevgeny Kuznetsov was essentially benched. He got as a healthy scratch. He and Ilya Samsonov were a healthy scratch on the game on Monday, due to being late for a team function, which what functions are you having during a pandemic? But they were late for a team function, so they both got pulled. And then Kuznetsov got added.
Were they late or did they no show?
I think what I've seen is that they were late.
Okay.
So I saw both. I know John Walton said on Caps this morning that they were late. I think Samantha Pell said they were late. I don't remember who said they did. It was a no show, but I think it was earlier on when that news came out that they weren't going to be playing. But like, what is with Kuznetsov? I'll tell you what, you go first with your thoughts, and then I'll riff after that.
I'm done with Yevgeny Kuznetsov. I'm done with that guy. He has been in this league how many years now? How long has he been a pro? I want to say 7 years. So if he's been in the league for 7 years, we've definitely done this show for like 9. I think it's 7 years. You don't know how it works now?
This is ninth season.
His ninth season?
Yeah, he started... never mind. The Caps website has a glitch. Eighth season. It had the 2013-2014 season twice. I didn't catch it right away. That's okay. Weird. I wonder why it did that. It's the same stats for both.
He, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, ever since the cup run, has been going down hill. He has not been the Yevgeny Kuznetsov that we brought in after he spent so many years in Tractor in the KHL. He can't play in the Olympics for the next couple of years because he did cocaine and then immediately went ice skating. So,
oh, and lied and tried to cover it up.
Yeah. So, I mean, you want to talk about embarrassing the Capitals. Kuzi is taking none of this seriously. I don't know what his issue is, but from the cocaine scandal to the COVID situation that happened early on with the four Russians to him being late for a team function, and now he's on the COVID list again. He's not taking any of this seriously, and you don't want that type of person in the locker room bringing everybody else down. I mean, look at that game last night. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, which we'll talk about. But just forward-wise, TJ Oshie was out. Alex Ovechkin still coming back, only played one shift, still wasn't doing well. You have Kuznetsov. He should be your leader at that point. With those two guys down, he should be the number one guy. He should be leading this team, you know, with Backstrom or Lars Eller. But he should be a veteran and a leader at this point, and he's not. He's being very selfish with what he has been, how he has been acting the last couple of years. And, you know, we've got the Seattle draft coming up. Ain't no way I'm going to support protecting him. None.
You think he makes it to the draft?
What do you think? They're just going to let him go?
No. Get out! No. Be gone, Yevgeny. No, I don't think it's anything. Like, I think what I'm looking at. Okay, so yes, his play is diminished, and there's starting to be a little bit of signs of Alexander Semin 2.0. And that's a problem. And so with him, you know, he's out earlier in the season because of he had COVID, and I don't think it's necessarily fair to blame him for that. We don't know why he's back.
I blame him and the other three guys for not wearing masks when
that I do. That I do, yeah, but we don't know if that
should be wearing a mask.
But we don't know if that's when he got it. We didn't do the contact tracing, you know.
Sure.
And I'll give that information. I'll
benefit of the doubt. Sure.
And as someone who's had to deal with that, it's tough to say where it came from without knowing all the facts. Now,
however, we know those four guys were in a hotel room by themselves,
yes,
not wearing masks.
Yes,
but they also do share a locker room and the bench. So, I don't know.
There
are
rules that don't really make a lot of sense. I'm looking at. Let's look at his production in general. Let's look at what he is supposed to. And so this season, he's in 41 games. He's got 29 points. You'd like to think better of that, especially for a guy that currently has a cap hit of like $1 billion. No, hang on, it's loading. I think it's 7.8 million, and you've got him for four more seasons after this year. You've got to deal with the fact. Here's my issue with this particular situation. You have a young guy in Ilya Samsonov who he's over in the U.S. now, but of course he's going to stay with his countrymen because that makes sense. If I was an American and I'm playing over, say, in European football and there's a couple of Americans on the team, it's likely I'm going to gravitate to those guys because we have a similar-ish, obviously have a similar nationality, but a similar, you know,
makes you feel like you're at home.
There's cultural norms that probably fit in or help you to fit in better. And it helps you feel like you said, you're more at home. So he's bringing this potential future of the Capitals in the goaltending spot. The guy who's, you know, was on track to potentially be the starter in the playoffs, based at least on what, you know, people are talking about on Twitter, that you're bringing him down with you. He got benched, I'm guessing, and again, we don't know all the details, but I'm guessing he got benched because of his behavior, because of Kuznetsov. And if it was Samsonov that caused him to be late and Kuznetsov, you know, I'll apologize for that. But based on track record, based on the history, based on what we've seen, I'm looking at the veteran. I'm looking at the guy that's supposed to be bringing them along. You look at the days of when Semin started in the league, and you've got, I think there was a situation where he goofed and he didn't pay for something with a credit card in his hotel when they were on the road. And Bondra and I think a couple of the other veterans were like, no. And like taught him, like, you need to call the hotel and you need to give them your credit card number so you can pay for these things. And it was, you know, a cultural thing. He'd come over. But you have these veterans that help to bring them along and teach them how to be a professional and how to play in the NHL. And you're not seeing that from Yevgeny Kuznetsov. And I get that some guys aren't built to be the leaders, but that's fine. But don't drag other guys down with you. And that's what we're potentially seeing right now with the future, likely future, for the Capitals in goal. I mean, I think that's what the team wants. My guess is that they want him to be the future in goal because he has the higher upside. I know John Walton and I think they're talking to Alan May, but it might have been Ben Raby, one of those guys, were talking about how they still think Samsonov's the future. He's likely to be the future in goal for this team. And are you bringing him down? And I think that they're starting to get word out that the Caps are getting tired of it. I think Laviolette's tired of it. And I think if they have an opportunity to move him in the offseason, they're going to. I would not at all be surprised to see that Kuznetsov gets dealt in the offseason. I think he gets dealt before the expansion draft. So hi, everybody. My computer decided to crap out while Brandon and I were in the middle of talking about how Yevgeny Kuznetsov is not only a cokehead, but a moron. And dragging down Ilya Samsonov apparently with him. And now we don't know if that's true, but I feel like, you know, the compass in Pirates of the Caribbean, Brandon, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
So remember how it's like whatever you want, it points to. It's not an actual compass. It's a magical compass. So for Jack Sparrow, it's always pointing to the rum.
Right.
I feel like for Kuznetsov, it's...
It did or point I feel like to in Keira Knightley once.
I mean, I got no problem with that. But with, I feel like right now, if we had to know which one of these guys is more of the problem, that compass is pointing at Kuznetsov. That's all I'm saying. And I would not, like, if they dealt him in the offseason, it needs to be for something. Because I don't think this team can afford to have to rebuild right now, especially when they're trying to convince Ovechkin to stick around. But I think if it's me, then I'm calling Buffalo first because I'm seeing if I can get Jack Eichel. Eichel costs more. He's about $2.2 million more.
He's younger.
And, I don't think Buffalo does it because they're like, why are we taking on that headache? But if Eichel's like, I want out. And I was like, where? He's not even on there. It's because he's injured. Where are you? So he's 10 mil for the next 5 seasons. He's 24. I'm not necessarily against that because it's a guy that can potentially help you for longer, and he's probably not going to cause as many problems. But he does cost more. So they're going to have to figure that out on their own. But I think Laviolette's done dealing with his nonsense. I think they're going to get through the season, and then I would not at all be surprised if he goes to McClellan after the season is like, I can't with this guy. You get him out of here. And I don't know what that does to Ovechkin. I don't know if that, you know, I don't think that's going to make him mad because he's had plenty of guys that he was close with and plenty of players that he played with that he wanted to stay, that the team moved on or didn't re-sign. And I think he understands that's part of the business. But I'd be curious as how that would affect him. But I have to imagine Laviolette's like, I've had enough. I don't want to deal with this guy anymore. Let's bring in someone who's going to give 100% every night. That's just where I'm at.
It's like this team has fallen apart.
Well, you have the injury aspect. So yeah, I mean, Ovechkin has been out 4 games. He came back, played 1 shift, and then went out again. He's unlikely to play on Wednesday. You got Schultz has missed the last 4 or 7 games. He's out again with day-to-day injury. Although Van Riemsdyk's looked pretty good in his absence.
He has.
So when I was like, why did they keep Van Riemsdyk and sign him to a new deal and then trade Siegenthaler? I can shut up now because he's been playing pretty well. So I'm wrong. And yet Carlson even missed a few games. So these guys are getting injured at the wrong freaking time. And Kuznetsov's being an A-hat at the wrong... See, look, Brandon, I've gotten better. I'm not cursing as much. He's being a moron at the wrong freaking time, as is Wilson, although it doesn't really matter, apparently, because Wilson, he didn't get suspended. But, man, that thing that came out from the Rangers, tomorrow's going to be awkward. And it's not like the Caps can necessarily afford to not play Wilson. You're down over. I mean, they play with 11 forwards on Monday and then ended up finishing the game with 10 because Ovechkin went out. They had 11. They still won 11 and 7. And they still won 6-3, which is crazy.
Six goals, each goal by a different person, too.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Wow, that's a good point. That's pretty cool. I saw the first period. Second period, I went on a walk with the little one and the dog and my wife. And then I come back for the third period after you go into bed.
Why was your wife last? I'm going to tell her that.
Sure, go ahead. And then I watch the third period. I'm like, well, you know, I'll get out this Nintendo Switch and play because you're probably going to lose this game with everything going on. And the role player is just like, I think not, sir. And they stepped up. And that's what you need when you have Ovechkin out, when you have Kuznetsov being an idiot, when you have Wilson also being an idiot. You need the other guys to step up. And Backstrom scored. I mean, look at the power play. Nick Dowd was on the power play. No offense to Nick Dowd, but he's not a power play guy. But he stepped up. And Hathaway stayed. He had a goal. He loves scoring against the Rangers, apparently.
Yeah.
I was honestly surprised Anthony Mantha didn't score. I know he's gone through a little bit of a slump here, but you know, you're not going to score every game. He's not a goal-per-game player, so I still like that trade. But, you know, it was a nice surprise. But Wednesday's game, it's going to
be a bloodbath.
It's Wilson, especially after that comment. It's going to be ugly.
Well, here's the thing that you want from your team when your superstar player does go down or isn't playing well or for whatever reason your star of Alexander Ovechkin isn't shining as bright. You want the bottom six to be there too. That's what happened in the cup run, is that you had all four lines competing and showing up and doing what they had to do. Now we're in an instance where the bottom six are your best players. The bottom six are showing up when nobody else is. And it could be one of those situations like, look, you're finally given an opportunity to show what you can do. And these guys are taking it. And you've got the top six guys, Ovechkin, he's injured. You've got Kuznetsov, who's doing koozie things and not hanging out on the ice. You got Tom Wilson, who is, you know, punching people while they're on the ground. Your bottom six is being your role players right now, and they're being the guys setting the example. You know, you do have Daniel Sprong doing what he has to do. Like you said, Nick Dowd, Garnet Hathaway. Those guys are the guys that are really shining right now and looking really great. Connor Sheary, even though he has spent some time on the top six. Connor Sheary is showing what he can do. So it's kind of crazy how quickly the roles have reversed, where the bottom six are your stars and the top six are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, it's going to have to be when your top six are injured, stupid, or on their own in the case of, or out for bereavement. So I don't know. It's not a good time for this team to suddenly decide that they don't want to play anymore. I mean, that, watching them play in that third period at first before they decided to have this miraculous comeback against the Rangers, it reminded me of the post-fire sale from the mid-2000s where they moved on from Jagr and Bondra and all those guys. And I was like, who's going to score goals? And the role players showed me that they were.
Yeah.
And I'll take it.
And we should say, you know, our condolences go out to TJ Oshie. Like you said, he missed last night's game. More than likely, he's going to miss the next couple. His father passed away, unfortunately. So Oshie will be with his family, and our thoughts and prayers are with the Oshie family. I know that's a terrible loss that he's gone through, but can't blame Oshie or anybody else for missing that game for that reason whatsoever. Real life is bigger than hockey. So we hope to have Oshie back, and you know, when he's ready to come back, the team will be ready for him. Moving on from that, we do have to bring up the goaltending. I made a note here, still no clear-cut number one goaltender, but after Samsonov and the way that he has behaved, I have to assume we're going with VTech through the playoffs, and he's going to be the number one because Samsonov was on a roll, and then he does something stupid, doesn't get to play.
Well, we don't know enough yet to say. It'll be interesting to see who plays tomorrow, who plays on Wednesday against the Rangers, because if it's Samsonov, he wasn't the problem.
I mean, I think you still hold him out for a game or two because he didn't show up to that team function like Kuznetsov didn't.
They were late.
Yeah, and I think you've got to take the guy who's more dedicated, who is showing up on time, and who has played really well, and who played however what many games at the beginning of the season, 19 games without a break, and who was a rookie, and who has put the time in for the last 5 years in the organization. VTech, I think, is the clear-cut number one, and Sammy's going to be on that taxi squad for a little bit. Maybe he becomes the backup at the beginning of the postseason, but right now I say go with the double V for the rest of the season.
So who were you protecting in the expansion draft?
I'd go with VTech.
So you're exposing Samsonov, or are you trading him? I guess it doesn't really matter at that point.
I don't think you have to. Well, is his contract up at the end of this year? Because I'm not saying to, like, completely...
I don't know. If I open any other windows, my computer will probably crap out.
I say you have him be the backup. I mean, if his contract is still good, you just keep him on the team, but you're not calling on him because he's kind of shown you can't depend on him.
Well,
he's crashing ATVs. He's hanging out with people without masks on.
He's a restricted free... Well, he's not the only one. He's a restricted free agent after the season, so... You're going to have to do something. And if you don't protect him, I have to imagine Seattle's going to take a flyer on him. So you need to get something for him. If you got to get something for him. You can't let him go for nothing. So either trade him. I still think they're going to think he's the future, but I wonder if this was a little bit more of a wake up call. And it'll be interesting. You know, was Kuznetsov giving a ride? I mean, was Kuznetsov giving him a ride to the event or whatever the situation might have been where they were late? You know, I'd like to know more information before I'm going to just throw the kid out, you know. But Vanacek has earned a spot on this team for this season with his play. You know, he's had his ups and downs, but clearly so has Samsonov. And I think it'll be interesting to see who plays on Wednesday. Unless Samsonov gets added to the COVID list because he was hanging out with Kuznetsov. We don't really know what's going on there yet.
Yeah, and due to Sammy being considered on the taxi squad because Carl Anderson is a wrestler. Craig Anderson was the backup goaltender. If he does have COVID, the team doesn't have to say publicly if he does or not since he's on the taxi squad. So we don't know at this moment of recording what's going on with Samsonov. But to me, he's at least the backup, and he's it's a three strikes and you're out type of thing for me. I mean, he's crashing ATVs. He's not wearing a mask. And now he's showing up late to functions. That's no good. You're not being a team player with any of those things.
No, it's not. They need. I mean, someone needs to take the kid under their wing and be like,
look at what happens when you let Trotz go. Because Trotz had this team thinking they were a unit, that they were all in this together, and he's gone, and the team has just gone down a very dark path. Hopefully Laviolette can come in and kind of straighten some of these things out, but right now the team just looks like they are in disarray.
Yeah, it's not a good time for them to start, not for them to I forgot what I was going to say. It's not a good time for them to come undone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's going to be, if this is what we're going to see in the playoffs, and if they're going to go, you know, out in the first round, I'm not saying that's necessarily the case, but if that's what's going to happen, there's a lot of work for this team in the offseason.
We'll see what happens. We'll see. But anything else we should cover in Caps news?
No, I think we've covered everything. We've got two morons and an injury.
All right. Well, it's been a banner week here for the Capitals. Ovi, get back soon and feel better. But anyway, that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start with Hershey, where the Bears went 3-0 with wins over Binghamton, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Lehigh Valley. The Bears are currently first in the North Division with 42 points, 7 up on second-place Lehigh Valley, although the Bears have played 2 more games. Now, they'll be back at it on Wednesday in Lehigh Valley before heading to Binghamton on Friday. Then they host Lehigh Valley at the Giant Center on Saturday. In other AHL news, the league announced that they will not be having their normal Calder Cup playoffs. Instead, they will allow each division to have their own playoffs, although only the Pacific Division will have one to announce a division winner. All the other divisions kind of are doing their own thing, where at the end of the regular season, essentially the team with the most points will be awarded a trophy. In the North Division, where the Bears are currently leading, the team that finishes in first place during the regular season, ranked by points, will be awarded the F.G. Oki Trophy as division champions. Now, this trophy is one of the oldest trophies in North American sports, first presented in 1927 to the London Panthers of the Canadian Professional Hockey League. That'll be a cool little like trivia nugget regarding the Hershey Bears, if they can pull it off. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with both wins being over Orlando. They're currently tied for fifth in the Eastern Conference with 58 points, 11 back of first place Florida, but they're only 8 back of second place Greenville, so a nice little winning streak would help. They'll be back at it with 3 games before we talk again, all on the road against Florida, starting on Wednesday, then Friday. Then they wrap up that particular part of their road trip on Saturday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Well, hopefully the Bears can come away with the big trophy that they can with their division. So we'll see what happens. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. There's plenty of stuff going on besides Tom Wilson and the New York Rangers issuing statements about him. Plenty of stuff is going on. So, Coach Dan, tell us, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, real quick, to back up a step to go back to the Wilson Rangers thing, the Rangers have also stated they believe George Parros is unfit to continue in his current role. The Capitals, this is according to Samantha Pell of the Washington Post, the Capitals will not be responding to the Rangers statement and will let the NHL handle per a team spokesman. So yeah, there's that. So that'll be fun. We'll see what happens in their next game. But let's actually conveniently start in New York. Not about the Rangers, though. The NHL announced last week that they have agreed to a 7-year deal with Turner Sports. Now, this includes the Winter Classic and 3 Stanley Cup Finals series. This officially ends the NHL's 16-year relationship with NBC. Turner Sports will air up to 72 regular season games, as well as half of the first 3 Stanley Cup playoff rounds each season, airing on TNT. The NHL also announced that the draft lottery is set for June 2nd, so that'll be fun. In KHL news, Avangard Omsk won their... I don't know if I said that right. Won their first Gagarin... I didn't say that right. Gagarin? Right? Gagarin Cup. For some reason, I struggled with that, and I shouldn't have. In franchise history, so congratulations to them, but it's KHL, so meh. And finally, in NHL news, goalie Ryan Miller announced that he will be retiring at the end of the season. He played 18 years in the NHL with Buffalo, St. Louis, Vancouver, and Anaheim. I actually forgot he played with St. Louis. He was only there for a season. He currently has played 795 games, starting 771 of those, with 391 wins, 289 losses, 1 tie, and 86 overtime losses. That is quite the career for the one-time Buffalo Sabre.
And he's a silver medalist.
Oh, that's right. He did win this. Yeah, well, it would be nice if it was it gold.
Stupid Crosby.
Yeah, he didn't do anything in the entire Olympics, and he scores that gold. But that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Now, I got to say, I am pretty shocked that the NHL is going to Turner Sports. That kind of came out of left field because you think about it, you think NBC, ESPN, and Fox as like your big hitters. And Turner still has the NBA. They have the MLB. They have AEW wrestling. And now they're going to have the NHL. That's
so they
a
got,
lot.
They had two of the big four. Now they got three.
Now they got three. So that,
they're coming for you, NFL.
So that's the thing, though. Like, I'm a little concerned because I liked the fact that the NHL was on NBC exclusively because it felt like they were the big fish and they got the like the most attention. Now that they're going to be there with the NBA and the MLB and part of March Madness, because I think TNT gets some of the March Madness games as well. How are they going to be treated? Are they going to be treated like a big time league, or are they going to be like, you know, your game's not important. You're going to go to, you know, I don't even know what Turner does. Turner have a like a sports network or like TNT2 or something like that? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I know they have BR Live. They have a connection with BR Live, and they put a bunch of like soccer games up there, and AEW does their pay-per-views on there. So could we potentially see the NHL go to streaming on BR Live?
Well, they are going to have games on HBO Max. Like they're going to stream them there as well as an option. And
how they
somewhere
do-
else, but I forget where it was.
Turner owns HBO Max. I thought Warner Brothers. Oh, they're Time Warner. They're connected.
Yes, they
okay.
are.
Okay, never mind. Yep. Yep.
You were like, hold up. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
You are ready to get all riled up. Just a
minute. That's not right. Oh, wait. Yeah, it is. Never mind.
But that's the games that aren't going to be played on ESPN. And then whatever the local network is going to be. ESPN Washington or something.
I'm intrigued at what's going to happen there. I really
Home
am.
Team Sports.
But who knows? But the only thing that kind of sucks for everybody is that so if they're splitting it between ESPN and Turner, that means there's going to be less local broadcasts and there's going to be more national broadcasts.
No, not necessarily. It might be blacked out. Like the national broadcast, so like the Caps are on nationally. If it's on like TNT, it might be blacked out on TNT and you'll just get a rerun of some Fast and the Furious movie. And then it'll be on
usually
the local
it's like
broadcast.
The Tuxedo.
Yeah, or you'll get
three.
Yeah. You'll get. You'll get something like that instead of the Caps game, which will then be on a local broadcast.
All right. Well, I'm intrigued to see what they do. I can't wait to see the AEW wrestling and the NHL crossover.
We just saw that the other night with Wilson being a moron.
Well, like we said, Chris Jericho, I almost like there's an 80% chance that Jericho is doing some sort of interview for somebody during an NHL game. I mean, his dad is an NHL player. He's got history there. He's Canadian. Like, they're going to bring him on when the Winnipeg Jets play. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
Oh, so, probably.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But, hey, you know, no more broadcast TV. That's kind of a bummer for people. Like, being on NBC broadcast, that was kind of a big deal. It's all cable or streaming now, so... That's it. So,
hey man, all that matters to me is we're getting this back. And if they don't use that, maybe we can buy it off of ESPN and use it as our intro to our show.
Yes, please don't change that at all. Bring it back and don't touch it.
Yeah!
All right, well, if you would like to... continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, including how Tom Wilson's a moron and how the Rangers are pissed about what's been going on. Oh man, this is getting interesting real quick. And I'll be curious to see the NHL respond. Dude, if they fine the Rangers for this, wow. But they can't give in, can they? Like, they can't fire Peros, at least not right now, because then they just, like, any team that complains about something, they're gonna have to give in. But I also on there occasionally talking about Arsenal Football Club, big game on Thursday. kind of season-ending game if this goes poorly, because the their Premier League season is a joke at this point. All they're talking about is Borussia Dortmund and other games. Talking about the draft. Well, not really, because I didn't really pay that much attention to the draft this past week with the Bills and the Washington football team. But yeah, that's fine. I'm on Twitter at WTPCoach. And if you want to help me buy a new computer, you can find me on Venmo at... No, I'm just kidding. But if you've enjoyed this show, because my computer sucks. Brandy, why'd you look confused? I just got this thing like a couple months ago and it already crapped out while we were recording today. But if you've enjoyed this show and you'd like to tell me where I should, what kind of computer I should get, go ahead and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the National Hockey League, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and anything else that comes into Brandon's head that he thinks is funny that has to do with hockey. But that's finding us on Facebook, or following us on Facebook, I guess is the technical term, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I brought up the NFL draft just a moment ago. Is there a podcast out there someone should listen to if they're a fan of a purple-colored team?
Yeah, so my buddy Josh and I, we do the Ravens podcast called The Call. You can listen to us wherever you listen to this podcast. We recorded earlier today recapping the draft. That show will be out probably the same time that this podcast comes out. So wherever you listen to our podcast, you should listen to that one as well. And next week, next Wednesday, we will be live on Facebook, hopefully, if I can figure out how to do that, when the NFL schedule comes out. And we will be talking about the games as they are released. So we are very happy about that, and we are happy to have the NFL coming back soon. And the Ravens even announced today that they are planning for full capacity games in September. Things seem to be moving in that direction. Hopefully we will be back there by September, and we will get to have 17,000 fans in a close space again. But anything can happen from now until September, so we shall see. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we can talk again. On Wednesday, May 5th, Revenge of the Fifth, Cinco de Mayo, two holidays in one. The Caps are at the Rangers. Yeah, Revenge of the Fifth and Cinco de Mayo. Think about it.
Stop it.
That game's at 7 o'clock. It is up against the Rangers and MSG. You can watch that nationally on NBC Sports or locally on NBC Sports Washington Plus. That one's going to be interesting, so I'd be tuning into that one if you just should. Tell everyone. And then on Friday, May 7th, the Caps are back home in D.C. taking on the Flyers, who have already been eliminated. They have nothing to play for. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on the NHL Network, NBC Sports Washington, and NBC Sports. And then on Saturday, May 8th, the Flyers again taking on the Capitals in D.C., 7 o'clock start. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington Plus or NBC Sports. That's three nationally televised games in a row for the Caps. And then the final game of the regular season will be on May 11th, a week from tonight, on Tuesday. That game is against Boston, who moved up to the third spot in the division, passing the Islanders. That's interesting. That could potentially, if the Caps fall to second, you know, 2-3, this could be the start of a series against Boston. That's intriguing. That's the last game. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on the NHL Network or on NBC Sports Washington. And then Coach Dan and I will be back Wednesday night recording on the 12th. That's a lot of recording I have to do in one day. I'm up for it, though. I'm up for it. So Coach Dan and I will be talking puck next week, so make sure you tune in. Normally we take this show out and we have a laugh at the end and we tell everybody to cheer and everything like that. But, given what has happened with TJ Oshie and his family, I thought it'd be really nice if we played the, clip from the Stanley Cup celebration of, TJ Oshie and his dad celebrating the cup win And I think we're going to end the show with that. So TJ Oshie and his family, our thoughts and prayers are with you during this difficult time. Just know that the Caps, we all support you and we're all here for you. And we'll be very happy when you're back, and we'll be here when you need us. So everybody, that's it for the show this week. Thanks for listening to What the Puck, and we will talk to you next week.
So we call my dad Coach. He just started introducing himself as Coach Osh, and it just stuck. And pretty soon, the Osh was out, and it was just Coach.
His dad's been along for the ride his entire life, bringing him to practices, games, and for them to be together at that moment, it was just really special.
I love you, Coach.
I love you, Coach. We did it. You're not going to forget this one, hey?
For dealing with Alzheimer's or having a family member affected by Alzheimer's, I don't think there's very many happy tears that you have because of the disease, but they were from happiness. They were from my dad knowing that I won the Stanley Cup.
I love you, son.
I love you, Coach.
I just had a feeling that he would remember this forever, and the next morning he looked over at my aunt Pam and said, we got the cup.
Give her a kiss, Coach.
Oh, yeah.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.